The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
This week's episode is brought to you by Patreon at patreon.com/talkingsimpsons. Not only do you get access to every episode a week early and ad-free, but we have tons of extras, including our two newest interviews. We chat with Mike Scully about his time executive producing the show.
I ran it through seasons 9 through 12, which I always characterize as the four most consecutive seasons of the show.
And we talk with writer Mimi Pond about what it was like to write the first episode of The Simpsons.
You know, and I get to be the turd in the punch bowl every single time I tell this story because nobody wants to hear anything bad about The Simpsons.
You can find all that and more exclusively on patreon.com/talkingsimpsons.
I heartily endorse this event or product.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody. Welcome to Talking Simpsons, where we're losing our perspicacity. I'm Bob Mackey, one podcast host you're not going to screw with. And this is the Later Time Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons. Who else is here with me today?
Henry Gilbert, like it or lump it.
Who else?
Much needed roughage, Chris Antista.
And our very special guest.
The taxes. The thing a thing means the taxes.
Those are like my favorite lines.
Matt McMuscles.
Matt McMuscles, hey, the tax man. And Matt, where do you hail from? Who are you exactly?
I am well known as one of the founding fathers of the Super Best Friends.
Yes, excellent.
And I also have my own side channel, Matt McMuscles on YouTube, and I am a YouTube man, and I cut my teeth on, as Chris just reminded me, making Street Fighter stupidity videos.
Exactly.
Based on the old 90s Street Fighter cartoon back in the day.
Matt has his own gift to animation in the form of the stupidity video series, which I go to at least twice a year and just lap my ass off. Those things rule.
And Matt, is this episode a particular favorite of yours, the PTA disbands?
For me, yeah, it's definitely one of those that like stick out in my head pretty well. I mean, there's like, well, I'm sure we'll get into it, but there's a couple of watershed moments thrown in there. So yeah, it sticks out in my head an awful lot, and I quote it.
That's what I didn't realize how many quotes and my favorite lines. I think I could put 30 of them come from this episode.
Yeah, it's just back-to-back gags about school. So we're slightly breaking format, but today's episode is the PTA disbands.
Woo! Oh my God, the PTA has disbanded!
And today's episode aired on April 16th, 1995. As always, Chris will tell us what happened on this day in history.
Oh, let's try and stay happy, Bobby. The ladies can geek out over Sandra Bullock's While You Were Sleeping, while the boys can brood along with Mark Wahlberg and Leonardo DiCaprio and the Basketball Diaries.
Oh, wow. We covered a lot of this on Talking Critic, actually, in the same week.
Talking Critic is coming. Well, hold on.
Nope.
Were you to watch this episode when it aired, you'd be treated to a bizarre night of Fox-branded comedy. The Simpsons, followed by House of Buggin', Married with Children, and the sanitized and boobless edition of HBO's Dream On.
Oh, my God.
I forgot they cut the boobs out.
Oh, and Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols kill 168 people in the Oklahoma City bombing.
Ooh.
Good night. Good night, everybody.
I think Brian Benben's impeccable timing is more important than Oklahoma City.
I think he was a wasted comedic talent. That guy rules.
Yeah. He was in everything for a while.
I mean, Oklahoma City bombing pretty bad, but the Mortal Kombat movie came out that summer.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
One thing didn't bomb.
No.
Oh, sorry.
Balances out.
Yeah. Now that While You Were Sleeping is not a bad romantic comedy.
It's a holiday staple for my girlfriend.
Yeah. Though it is about the weirdest scene in the movie to me. and I already talked about this on The Critic, but I'll steal my story again, is that in the film, a important plot scene involves the mother touching her son's balls while he's in a coma to confirm that he has one testicle instead of two, thus confirming Sandra Bullock's story, which happened because like his friend had a pencil in his pocket while they were playing a basketball game and accidentally stabbed him. And it's like, damn.
Real nuts what they did while he was sleeping? Remove his testicle?
His mom just confirmed he didn't have one. But, that Oklahoma City plumbing thing, what a bummer. But we had the PTA disbands to help us be happier.
Yes, I love this episode. As a kid who hated school, this is just nothing but jokes about school, and I appreciated this so much when I was 12 when this aired.
And every member of the Simpsons family is funny, and I was a little distracted, but I kept like, what is the A-plot here? Who gets the A-plot? Is this a Skinner episode, or is this a Bart episode, the Lisa episode? Mm-hmm. It's because everybody has so many standout moments.
And so many side characters, too.
Mm-hmm. I kind of feel that Homer actually, I mean, he has a few things in there, but he actually really doesn't do anything, because he's the only one that's not active at the school, but... Other than that, you're right that like every member
we obey the laws of throwing an egg.
Even makes a face that is funny once. I think she even gets in on it for a second.
Yeah, it's more just about the bigger Springfield, and this almost feels like a prequel episode to Edna dating Skinner too.
Sparks are starting to fly. I think in this
their
episode.
Their tension here is really their unspoken sexual attraction to each other.
I would say so. Yeah,
but I also like this episode. It's all about like unionized labor and the problem it has too with people. Like everyone agrees school should have more money, but then like, but the taxes.
Those are like my favorite thing Dan has ever done.
Dan Castellaneta playing my secret favorite Springfieldian.
Taxes are bad. And you don't even see him. Which one is he?
Yeah, man, he's really pinch hitting through that scene.
And I don't know why, but jokes about underfunded education have never been so funny.
It still points, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So,
Matt, actually, I was curious too. What's your history as a Simpsons fan?
Yeah,
like, how long have you been a viewer?
I remember just. I think I remember hearing like there's this brand new animation show coming out, and it was like season one, and my memory's a little foggy, but like when it first came out, I think I want to say the first episode I saw, it's season one, but now it totally escapes me. But you know, a long time viewer up until like, when does everyone drop off? Like 10? 11 at the most, you know, usually.
13, yeah.
People younger than us really never dropped off. I find that weird. They have a weird, different relationship with the show than us old timers do.
Okay. That's like totally fair, because I know like sometimes you go so long that people just need to like, you know, and like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it all the way through and not mind it. But yeah, like, you know, season 10, season 11, but still like, love The Simpsons, like went to go see the movie opening day, buy all the games if ever they come out. I laughed pretty hard at the games too. Like there's two or three things in one of the games. Like I think it's Simpsons Hit and Run, where you're tasked with getting boards to nail up your windows because there's zombies. And Homer just says, I need something to board up these windows. I know, boards.
And it is a funny game. I love Hit and Run.
Have Super Best Friends done any Simpsons games?
We've done a Hit and Run a bit, but that we paid too much attention, unfortunately, to that game. What we didn't pay attention to is Simpsons Wrestling, because the game is so bad and there's just not a lot to say about it. But it was tears, where all we're doing is reciting like just every bit we've ever memorized. And we see like the game glitch out, and we said like, boy, man, I sure hope someone got fired for that, you know? Like, so that one resulted in like one of the funniest things, where we talk zero about the game, because there wasn't a lot to
There's
say.
There's nothing
like,
to say about the game outside of screaming.
That's basically it for video games and stuff in terms of me. But a lot of the 95, this is my wheelhouse. So PTA Disbands is like totally in there.
I was also curious, you're Canadian. So what channel did you watch it on in Canada?
Us Canadians all tucked away down there. Yeah,
all tucked away down there.
Actually, this will be a point I'll bring up, is that a lot of Simpsons, especially of the mid-90s, are replayed on our channel, CBC, which is as Canadian as it gets. It's a Canadian broadcasting company. After school, it would replay at around 5 p.m. And sometimes they'll play two back-to-back episodes. And I'd see them so often that that's where they really got, you know, pounded into my consciousness. So that's where I like literally saw saw it the most. It would come on usually Sundays though on like Fox or whatever. I'd see the initial episode there. If I missed it, I'd always see the reruns on CBC.
I think that's what makes people of our generation so attached to the show in that way, that we predate syndication. Mm-hmm. We couldn't feasibly watch The Simpsons every day, and when we could, we did for years.
And taped it.
Mm-hmm. It became much more special when it was every day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, so this episode though starts with a reference to another classic TV show, F Troop.
Classic.
What? A total classic.
This Civil War cannon has been fully restored and is in ready to fire condition. But it's a good thing we're not firing it, because it happens to be aimed at the main support leg of that lookout tower. People don't realize that these cannons are very sensitive, and the slightest jolt could set them off. Of course, for safety reasons, we don't keep the cannon loaded. It's just common sense.
Yes, so, that scene of a cannon firing at a guard tower and the tower collapsing is from the show F Troop, the 60s show the Civil War. Yeah, it's the show where Redskin and Paleface both turn chicken, as song says.
It's like pre-Civil War. It's when they're it's during the Civil War.
Yeah.
It's when we were killing off all the natives. That's what's.
I should not know the F Troop theme song. I apologize.
It was on Nick and I. Yeah. I just love that subversion of such a lengthy. They spend almost a minute on setup of like, boy, it'd be really bad if this cannon shot, huh? But obviously we don't load it.
Excellent non-joke.
The lack of payoff is a payoff, and I love the state of the bus.
Exactly.
The children are playing in the hole again. They have to jump to a new seat because the hole is getting bigger. Yes. I love it.
The children are playing in the hole again.
But the kids are all like laughing and having fun with it. I also like the shot of the kids covered in toxic smoke, and that Ralph doesn't even cough anymore. He's just so used to it.
But from the very beginning, they are setting up the plot line that the school has no money, and there's a real budget crunch going on.
Yeah, when Skinner says they've cut the budget again, that explains why the school looks even worse. The school, I don't think, has ever looked worse than this.
And how Otto has to steal gasoline. Here's the credit card.
I never knew what siphoning gasoline was until that's taught me. I've never done that. But
I've done it while transferring a fish tank. It totally works.
Yeah, I think when you empty a pool, you can do a similar thing with a giant hose. But I do want to bring up the whole... So they're going to Fort Springfield, and now there's an admission cost because Disney owns it. D-I-Z-N-E-E.
Jesus.
We previously saw the Disney brand in the episode Old Money, where Abe goes to Disneyland. Not affiliated with Walt Disney or the parks in any way. Yeah. The reason this joke is in the show, it is lost to time, but in November of 1993, Disney announced Disney's America... A Michael Eisner idea to build a historically themed theme park in Virginia.
Colonial Williamsburg. So just to beat the shit out of Busch Gardens Colonial Williamsburg thing.
Yeah, to have sort of a kind of a Midwest destination, not like Florida or California.
It sounded so boring. It is so boring. Everyone with triangle hats. Why would you put your Disney money behind this?
They had some weird ideas about this. As you walked through the park, you'd be progressing through history. Above the shops would be hotel rooms where you could stay in the park, which was a new thing for Disney parks. Mm. You'd literally stay within the park.
The park. Wow. Yeah.
But on September 28th, 1994, probably after this episode was written, Disney announced the cancellation of Disney's America. Basically, Virginia hated it. People hated it.
Historians hated it.
Yeah, they're like, you can't corporatize history. So Disney's America never happened. When this episode was written, it probably was on the brink of happening.
I remember I read on the page, too, some people said, what, are they going to sell, slave ships to kids? Because that's part of history. That would be screwy if they did that.
And we also meet Principal Valiant. I think for the first time...
Principal Valiant.
He is great. And for the first time I noticed, it says Shelbyville on the bus.
Yeah.
I never saw that before.
Well, it's weird because in a few episodes, we'll be deep in Shelbyville at Lemon of Troy, and its school seems the exact same.
Yes.
So I don't know why they're so rich in this episode.
Yeah, it's weird.
But that character, Principal Valiant, I just love. Just the way the operator of it knew who he was. Yes, sir, Principal Valiant.
He swept the Princey Awards, but they're rigged, I tell you. They're rigged. Yes.
Here's the admission plus some for you. See that they get a little extra education, would you?
Yes, sir, Principal Valiant.
He thinks he's so hot ever since he swept the Princey Awards.
Those things are rigged.
Here's a little extra for you. Make sure they get a little special education.
A little more learning.
They learn extra on top of it. Then we get to see what they're learning, which we get to see that, like, on the plus side, wherever Springfield was they participated in the Civil War, but they were Union. And this is the story of the brave Springfield Brigade.
Yes.
They're too brave.
May 21, 1864. The men of the 9th Bearded Infantry were sunning and fluffing their beards in the sun. Suddenly, enemy troops crested that hill over there.
Fort Springfield, we surrender unconditionally.
We're sick. We need leeches and hacksaws to saw off our gangrenous limbs.
But the Springfield Brigade was too brave to accept the surrender.
Come on, boys. Those white flags are no match for our muskets.
Charge!
And the Springfielders heroically slaughtered their enemies as they prayed for mercy.
It's hard to see what's going on. I can only make out the fat soldiers.
All right, children, switch.
Hey, they're trying to learn for free!
Get them!
Use your phony guns as clubs!
Run, children!
Such chaos. I like that Disney Park would try to cover up that event in history, but here they're glamorizing the brutality. I love it. It's so great.
At Springfield...
Speaking of brutality, there's no darker joke, I think, in this era of The Simpsons other than Gner being beaten to death by a bunch of adults.
Yeah, we see them, like, raise their guns.
The camera pulls away... But he died in that shot. Like, that's all that could have happened.
I forget what season it is, but we later see his parents, and his mom says, "We just want answers."
Yeah, that's right. They cut that. Yeah, that he is just beaten to death. That all
like
those,
grown men.
Yeah, that all those men were just like, "We are going to chase children and beat them for trying to learn." And it's also a pretty grisly shot on the show of, like, that guy stabbing the other guy with the musket,
yeah.
Which I wondered if the animators forgot. Like, no, these are reenactors. This is not actual stabbing.
And as we learned from Lisa on Ice, you shouldn't make Uter run when he's full of chocolate.
That's true, yeah. It's his stomach. Just the way he grabs his side. I actually, the amount of research I did for this episode, I watched some of Von Ryan's Express, which is what that scene references. Von Ryan's Express is one of...
It's where the Darkstalkers cartoon aired.
It's, well,
that's a Switcher shout-out.
But it was one of a many great escape type films of, like, World War II prisoners of war trying to escape. This was Frank Sinatra leading a ragtag group trying to escape from Italian prison. And they do, and spoilers for the end of the movie, almost everybody gets away except for Frank Sinatra. And
Old Blue Eyes is dead?
As he's running after the train, he's shot in the back by the Italians, and it looks exactly the same as Uter falling over and being beaten.
That's great.
It's just, God, just that cut. They had to cut, like, real fast, like, like, the gun is right about to come down on him, and apparently they get away with it thanks to permission slips.
Oh.
Well, Seymour, because of your penny pinching, we're coming back from a field trip with the fewest children yet.
God bless the man who invented permission slips.
As a kid, this made me realize the purpose of permission slips.
Yeah.
Like, this is to cover the school's ass in case any of us get hurt or die.
It's a shitty waiver that you put an 8-year-old in charge of.
Yeah.
So that children consistently die on Springfield field trips, too. It's just kind of...
We're bringing back fewer children than ever? Is that what Edna said?
Yes, yeah.
Well, you know what they said. They have to learn about tech war sooner or later.
It's true.
Yeah, they have to... It's harsh lessons you got to learn at Springfield Elementary.
The Simpsons will be right back.
The Patreon. The finger thing means the Patreon. That's right. It's time to talk about the Patreon, but I have so much more to tell you than just that you should subscribe to it so you can get every episode a week early and ad-free. I won't even just mention that you can get the first season of Talking Simpsons exclusively there, as well as our Talking Critic show where we go through every episode of The Critic. That's exclusively there too. What I really want to tell you about is that we just have a brand new interview there with Mike Scully. If you don't know, Mike Scully is one of the legends of The Simpsons, I would dare say. He worked on the show
from season 5 pretty much onward. Sho ran the show from seasons 9, 10, 11, and 12, and Bob and I chatted with him a ton about both his long tenure on the show, being highly criticized on the internet, and so much more in an awesome hour-long interview, and it is exclusively on the Patreon right now. Just $5 a month will get you access to it. And again, it supports Bob and me doing this full time. So we appreciate all the support on there. It is our main source of income. So any help you can give is totally awesome. And I think we make it worth your while. So check it out at patreon.com/talkingsimpsons. Once you're done learning about tech war, there's something else you should learn about. The Talking Simpsons t-shirt! We have our own t-shirt that's available at Shirtsicle. That's like Popsicle, but with shirts. Shirtsicle.com. It's on sale there, or you can find it at tiny.cc/talkingshirt. If you head there, you can find our beautiful sky blue t-shirt, patterned after the Ion Springfield logo, a song that's very important to us, with art done by the wonderful Nina Matsumoto, who's a friend of the show. For just $19.99, you can get your hands on the wonderful t-shirt. It comes in multiple sizes and shapes. Also, ships relatively internationally, so check the international shipping on that. It's all really cool. tiny.cc/talkingshirt or at shirtsicle.com. Popsicle, but with a shirt.
Hey, this is Jerry Cooney, professional boxer and official greeter of Mr. Burns Casino.
Welcome to Mr. Burns Casino. If there's anything I can do to make your visit more enjoyable, please, just let me know.
Yeah, great. See ya.
You're listening to the guys on Talking Simpsons.
Hey, is that bug off?
This week on Laser Time, the internet's seventh leading pop culture podcast, the gang is tackling a brand new topic.
I tried to find a negative review of Citizen Kane. 1 star, it had no color. It was utterly depressing. The camera angles were okay, but the acting really wasn't too good. All the actors were always interrupting themselves or each other, and it just didn't flow well in my mind. And this is my favorite line of all time. It's just like the Blair Witch Project.
I mean, he's right.
It's just like the Blair Witch Project. A lot of people watch Citizen Kane because of the hype and find themselves disappointed. It's sad but true. Citizen Kane was a real disappointment. Totally unoriginal plot. Bad lighting. Cheesy sets. Boring too, and gosh, what is this Rosebud thing? That was freaky. Whoa, dude. Anyway, this movie was whack and mad boring. It was a bummer too that it was all black and white and all the guys looked the same because they all wore suits.
That's Laser Time. New every Monday on lasertimepodcast.com, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it was a real, like, this episode was written by Jennifer Crinton. This is her second episode on the show. And I think I really like the little family bits in here of them getting the wrong lunch. Like, that's a very domestic thing of Marge handing them the wrong lunch.
And it should be noted that David Merkin named this episode The PTA Disbands because in her original script, that was going to be a big event in the episode. And she was looking at it like it was a traumatic experience. Yeah, but like, David Merkin's like, nobody cares if a PTA disbands.
Yes.
And the PTA never disbands in this episode. And I think that joke was added to make fun of her even more.
Yeah, it feels like a mocking of Jennifer.
Merkin was trolling his writers.
Yeah, he did that with everybody. But then this is a... this is
so
one of
many,
my favorite lines. Yeah. I say this one all the time.
Seymour, the teachers are fed up. You have to start putting money back into the school. You cut back on everything. Salaries, supplies, the food... I don't care what you say, I can taste the newspaper.
Posh. Shredded newspapers add much-needed roughage and essential inks. Besides, you didn't notice the old gym mats.
There's very little meat in these gym mats.
Our demands are very reasonable. By ignoring them, you're selling out these children's futures.
Oh, come on, Edna. We both know these children have no future. Prove me wrong, kids. Prove me wrong.
I've never seen them fight like that, Bart. I'm worried that all this posturing and saber-rattling could lead to a teacher's strike.
Strike, eh?
Ow! My bones are so brittle. But I always drink plenty of... milk?
So, that clip is less than a minute long, and there are like 14 jokes in it.
Do you want to call that best line?
Kinda. But I have 1,000 best lines.
The joke.
I think of so many of those readings. There's very little meat in these gym mats.
Well, do you remember?
George is so disappointed. Like,
yeah. Yet another instance of Simpsons predicting the future when it was revealed that Subway was using a chemical in its bread that's also used in gym mats, the thing
Whoa.
That makes it fluffy.
Wow.
So
oh my
that's
God. Why
it's not as big a deal as it sounds. You just don't want to eat a gym mat that much.
That's... Yes, and in recent years, Malk has become real. It is a milk substitute made out of nuts, and I want to try it so I get my vitamin R supplements.
I'd seen it going viral, pictures of Malk at organic food stores, but I just love the prove me wrong.
That is so
prove me wrong.
What an excellent recovery.
Yeah, Skinner was right. No millennial had a future after that. So he accurately predicted it.
He was right. Those kids did have no future.
I like how the teachers are just eating this recycled garbage, not even bringing a lunch from home. Like, just eat the newspapers and gym mats.
Yes. And it's cover of like essential inks. Like, no one should eat ink. That is not what you should be doing. And by the way, vitamin R, according to Wikipedia, is Ritalin.
Oh, so, interesting. Yes.
Ritalin.
That's according to, it's Wikipedia, so it must be true. But yes, then we get to see a little bit more about what's wrong with the school.
How do you expect us to teach with these supplies? Well, this pointer's so old it's worn down to a nub.
It still points, doesn't it?
Stop that! And look at this. The only books we have are ones that were banned by other schools.
Well, the kids have to learn about tech war sooner or later.
Another great line. And I love just the idea that a pointer could be worn down from the act
down
of pointing.
Of, yeah.
Just from pointing.
Yes.
So some of the books on that shelf, we've got Sexist, which that's an autobiographical book by Henry Miller about his second marriage. And was scandalous at the time for explicit descriptions of sex.
It's the first of a three-part trilogy along with Plexus and Nexus. Mm. So he was going for a theme there.
Sexist sounds the most exciting.
It's got sex in it.
Yes.
Tech War, of course, is the first in a series of books, quote-unquote, written by William Shatner.
I made sure to give you folks context for that earlier in the season.
Oh, yeah.
Because when Tech War premiered. Big Tech War fan, Matt?
All I know about Tech War is quoting this line. That's it.
I mean, Tech War's up there with Andromeda and Lex for me. You know,
Kevin Sorbo's
sci-fi.
Andromeda.
Yeah.
All the two-season ones. Yeah, well, Tech War was just like... It was Shatner trying to cash in on something like, what if I take out one letter from Trek and then put it with Star Wars in the war? It'll be its own thing.
I'll fool a lot of people.
It got one season of a TV show.
Yeah, and a bad CD-ROM game. But the other books on the shelf are, so we have 40 Years of Playboy. The actual book from 1994
kind of a new book.
Is called Playboy : 40 Years. Steal This Book is the 1971 book by Abbie Hoffman. It's basically an anarchist guide. Like, all of these ripoffs and scams you can't do anymore, like how to cheat a payphone, how to steal from a grocery store, things like this before the surveillance age, like how to kind of live for free as a
crush
punk.
Bastard guide.
Yes, exactly. The traveling bastard. Hop on Pop, that is the classic Dr. Seuss book, of course. I think they're implying there's some kind of homosexual incest happening in that book. And the Satanic Verses is a Salman Rushdie novel that got him his fatwa issued on him by I believe a Muslim cleric or something like that.
Yeah.
He's fine now, but some of his translators were murdered.
Jeez.
Like, people were murdered because of that. So those are all the books.
Bart, I love that Edna knows she's being played by Bart, but her pride is getting won over on her. But meanwhile, Skinner just falls straight for it.
There's not going to be a strike, Bart.
Yeah. Skinner said you wouldn't have the wontons to go through with it.
Skinner said that?
Well, I had to clean it up a little. But basically, Krabappel said you'd give the teachers everything they want.
She did?
Yeah. She said you'd fold faster than Superman on laundry day.
We'll see about that. Simpson, I always thought you were sneaky and manipulative. But now I see you're really a very sensitive little boy.
Thank you, sir.
Aw. I forgot he actually says, aw.
He just totally fell for it.
There's too many great things happening in the episode, but this is still a great Skinner episode, even though it's not truly his.
There are so many great lines, including one coming up. I don't know if you have the line he says on the PA.
Yes, yeah. But I love that. The turn of phrase of fold faster than Superman on laundry day. Like, that's Superman.
You're not mad it's not the Flash?
I mean, Superman isn't as fast as the Flash, it's true.
Yeah, I mean, take it up with Jace Richdale, who wrote that line.
Yeah, stay tuned for the credits of Justice League, people.
It's taking all my energy to not just talk about comic books with Matt this entire time.
You're doing excellently, don't worry.
But man, isn't the jury cool? I wish I want them to be in the next Spider-Man movie.
Oh, they're the best. Yeah. They're the best.
Are they like the runaway jury room I've heard so much about?
No, they're a bunch of guys in like wannabe Iron Man who hunt down Venom because Venom killed killed this guy's son, this rich guy's son. So
and Venom is still Flash?
No, this is back when Eddie Brock was
nothing is more terrifying than a juror, so I'm on board.
But no,
if you want to have a slight correction, he gives up on trying to have the jury kill Venom because Venom's too strong and overpowered. So he's like, you know what's the next best thing? Killing Spider-Man, because it's his fault that Venom was even created. That guy. That's the best.
Good times. All right, but yes, Bob, I think you're referring to this line here.
Yes.
Attention, this is an emergency broadcast. All is well in the school. My authority as principal is total. Give me that.
Attention, teachers. We're on strike.
Ha! Oh, no. Strike, Miss Hoover? Are you on...
Go home, children.
That is a great Skinner joke. To have an emergency broadcast to say everything is fine.
Everything is fine.
I have not been removed from power yet.
Marsha Wallace and Harry Shearer, I don't know if they were recording together, but they are so good in this episode.
They're so great together. Yeah. I want to think that they were in the same booth.
That they could even be great. Like, the animation is backing them up very well, but even on just a static shot of the intercom, they're so funny together, just hearing them fight over it.
Great sound effects, too.
Yeah. And then we also get to hear from Mrs. Pommelhorse, which, well, we get to know her name, and honestly, that name kind of sucks.
Previously, she swallowed a whistle in Lisa on Ice, and that's basically all we know about her.
It's actually surprising they didn't do more jokes about gym teachers. Like, out of all the teachers they make fun of, they never make fun of gym teachers.
Not a single lesbian joke.
Yeah,
and, I mean, I think they were leaning that way with Pommelhorse, but they never quite got
there. This is not interesting, but I just know from syndication there is a hard cut. Right, I'd like to get down you, and it fades out real fast.
They get rid of the Pop Goes the Weasel joke.
Yeah,
that's right.
In syndication, they add a new commercial in there.
Yeah, Data leads them in the forbidden music.
But yeah, so then they get home, and Lisa and Bart have very different reactions to the strike.
Great news, Mom! Horrible news, Mom! The school's on strike! Maybe forever. Oh, overload. Pleasure overload. Luckily, I've prepared for this, so I'm not too worried.
Sit up straight. Eyes forward. No talking. Is that gum? Is that gum? Is that gum?
Oh, yeah. Bart, leave that crowbar here. You know I don't like you prying and jimmying. Mom! Dad! Great news! The teachers are...
We heard.
And we already hired a tutor.
Well, looks like we'll be staying late today to make up for all this dilly-dallying.
No...
God, okay, so I love the observational quality of Lisa's reaction to this because it's clear that she gets no validation at home. So the validation she gets at school is almost like a drug that she needs.
Yes, that she goes through withdrawal.
Like yeah.
And then she even has class fish sticks. She has school fish sticks in there. Which
fish sticks.
These have to have gone pretty bad. You need to refrigerate fish sticks.
I have some faith in our country still. I hope fish sticks aren't still a thing in schools.
I don't know.
I hate them. They're so gross.
It's just French bread pizza now. That's all they get.
That I love. With pepperoni squares.
Yeah. But the Bart, meanwhile, his pleasure overload, I think of that too. Like, he has to kiss the dog. Yeah. He's too excited. He can't.
I felt the same way whenever school was canceled. Unfortunately, my teachers could never go on strike because I went to a private school, a Catholic school. But whenever school was canceled for snow, just like, what do I do with myself now? I have an entire day.
Freedom.
Man, see, that's the difference between all of us, Matt. You and Bob probably had snow days. Henry and I had maybe had hurricane days. We're lucky.
Yeah,
snow days were a thing, but they would not happen often. Like, schools that would, like, mine would, like that other joke from a previous episode where it's like, in Springfield Elementary is open. Like, that would be my school.
They always were able to get it back up, and that's too bad. But I love the little Marge line of, I don't like you prying and jimmying. Instead of just saying, like, don't have a crowbar, that's bad. She has to be very specific about it. But I feel so bad for Milhouse that he thought he'd be free, too. And instead, he already has to make up for lost time with... basically Tony Randall.
Yeah, there's a kind of a subtle C story going through this in which Milhouse becomes smart temporarily. Like, he helps them with the plan at the end. Like, it only lasted this episode, but he is smarter than Bart.
He stopped being just a useless dork and became a nerd. He finally became the nerd. That's the problem when you're a dork. If you look like a nerd, you have glasses, people are like, okay, you're really smart. And you're like, no, I just like, oh. I'm lazy.
You're in for a terrible surprise.
I am not as smart as you think. I like the bouncer at the arcade. There's a couple good arcade jokes in here, which in 95, arcades were still going, but...
Yeah, they were still living off the Street Fighter 2
No,
bump.
See, all right, you're going to love this, Matt, as well. I went and got the game, the arcade games of 95, like the big ones in 95. And maybe... Let's say Japan didn't get the message about the arcade scene dying, because this year saw Mortal Kombat 3, Tekken 2, King of Fighters 95, Virtua Cop, and Fighter 2, and Area 51. Those are all like major, major arcade games all that year.
Those are the big ones.
Yeah.
I think all of my local arcades dried up by 97 or 98, so they didn't have much longer to live after this.
Right about the time the Saturn stopped being a thing.
Oh, man. That's what I loved about the Saturn. I was playing Virtua Fighter... in Virtua Cop at Aladdin's Castle. And I was like, I can now play this at home all the time.
As the news, Poobah, you might want to wait until the next episode.
No, okay.
And, talk about Saturn.
How do we feel about the foreman with the voice of Bart at the construction
site? That's great. Yeah. I love that. It's the only way that joke works. It's them pointing out that, why would they listen to some random person telling them to do stuff on a megaphone only if they sound like Bart?
And I'm pretty sure Bart kills the man in the porta potty, like just suffocates him under a mountain of sand.
Yeah, I'd say.
Personally, though, I think the standout on the construction scene is just when Bart's like, hey, he with the crane, swinging around real fast, and he just gives the most slightest shrug and just does it anyway, is amazing.
Yeah, when that girder flies off, people die. Like, people die from that as well. I also love the little searching for Bobby Fischer joke of Bart playing three chess games at once.
And the really quick dang. I do love it. Dang.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Searching for Bobby Fischer, it turns chess into a sports movie, and basically where he gets child chess prodigy, and he's being trained by the streetwise Lawrence Fishburne, but also the prim and proper Ben Kingsley, and he has to learn both sides of the chess game. It's
I've never been so confident never having watched that movie.
I prefer the UCB parody, The Master Dialectician.
Yes, I know. That. Oh God, that the
Master a gay tank commander.
Yeah. This whole operation is foobar.
Wow, you knew
I remember the scene. Yes, it's true. So this description from Homer has followed me to every job.
Lousy teachers trying to palm off our kids on us.
But Dad, by striking, they're trying to effect a change in management so that they can be happier and more productive.
Lisa, if you don't like your job, you don't strike. You just go in every day and do it really half-assed. That's the American way.
Excellent, yes. Having just come from a company that was failing and everyone was resentful and not doing anything, I was on board with Homer's idea.
That was that is certainly the American way. I have been at multiple jobs of like, well, but we didn't have the union option of striking anyway, it really just was, all right, then I will do this half-ass. Like, and I wish I had learned that sooner, because I felt like everyone, especially at the job Bob and I just worked at, I felt like the smart people there just said, oh yeah, I'm going to just work half-ass. Like, why do you care? Your mistake is caring.
I'm going to hide all day.
There's no money in passion.
Exactly.
Only if you monetize your own passion.
Yeah. Well, Matt, have you had an office job, or you just been...
I did. I did Q&A game testing for like 7 years.
Wow.
Damn.
Like, most people go, oh, you game tested. Well, that must have been like, you must have been like ass deep and like babes and money. I'm like, no, actually, it's one of the most boring jobs you could actually have.
Yeah, I used to work at a game publisher, and thank you for your service. That's like one of the hardest jobs ever is game testing. One of the most grueling jobs ever.
Unfortunately, I got too good at the job, and they promoted me to be, I couldn't even play games anymore.
No!
I had to be the one managing people to play the game, so I couldn't at least have
QA
that.
Lead?
So I just looked at spreadsheets all day.
The whip cracker.
Can you say any of the games you worked on, just so we can nerd out?
Oh yeah, No More Heroes.
Oh,
the original one.
I played it,
I did a Tenchu game, did Deus Ex Human Revolution, the recent, not the last Tomb Raider game, but the one before it, and Kane and Lynch, the second Kane and Lynch game.
Wow. Yeah.
Dog Days? There, I got it.
Dog Days, yeah.
Though, a continuity blunder here, Homer is gone on strike. He is a union member who's gone on strike. So
And he got the dental plan he wanted.
Yeah, he did affect change in management for a happier job. Then we get another line I say all the time, which I just fucking love.
Good news, people!
Yeah!
I'm happy to announce that another union has joined us in a sympathy strike. The Piano Tuners Local 412!
Now for Operation Strike Make Go Longer. You know, I heard Skinner say the teachers will crack any minute.
Skinner said the teachers will crack any minute. Purple monkey dishwasher.
Well, we'll show him, especially for that purple monkey dishwasher remark.
That was my favorite joke, as because that's a perfect joke for a kid to get. If you went to an underfunded public school, you played a lot of telephone.
That's a way to pass time.
Where you whisper a phrase in another student's ear, it goes around the room. By the time you get back, it's totally warped. Mm. But it's the joke, like, my dad didn't get it, but I did. And it was very rarely that moment, like, I got the telephone joke. I guess you can keep your Dukakis reference, Father.
I think purple monkey dishwasher is now synonymous with miscommunication.
Yes.
Where something is lost in communication. I use that all the time.
I use it to end ramblings by myself.
But it's impressive that in the telephone game, they only messed up the end of it. It was all the same correct words, except somebody added purple monkey dishwasher in that. And then Edna just bought it. Like, Edna is all in on it.
I am shocked there's not a popular band called Purple Monkey Dishwasher.
Oh, there has to be.
I'm sure there's several unpopular bands with that name, Chris.
And I kind of wish Chalmers was in more of this episode. He's really just in the one scene yelling at Skinner. It's not even a particularly funny one. The honk if you like cookies, I feel like there could be a funnier thing on that.
I think
board.
More Chalmers in this episode would upset the Skinner and Edna fight going on here.
Yeah, that's true.
As much as I love Chalmers.
Chalmers.
Super Nintendo.
Yeah, Super Nintendo Chalmers, the greatest. I have had like 17 different people on Twitter say, like, hey, look at this Super Nintendo painted like Chalmers. And it's always fun to see it, but it's been cheering me sometimes. Yeah. That's not as exciting as the Teapot Dome scandal. Ooh.
15-minute recess, Milhouse. The recess assignment is chapters 3 through 7.
Yay! Recess! Milhouse, I found a hive of killer bees. You want to go throw rocks at it?
Sorry, Bart. I'm deeply immersed in the Teapot Dome scandal.
Huh?
However, it might be feasible in a fortnight.
What?
I can play in 2 weeks.
Juh?
So we get huh, wah, juh, and zuh in this episode.
Bart forgets words. I just love that juh.
Yeah, like Bart is getting stupider from being out of school, and Milhouse is getting much smarter by having a tutor.
Yes. So if you don't know what the Teapot Dome scandal was,
nope.
It was Watergate before Watergate. It was before people said, oh, this political scandal is the next Watergate, they would say it was the next Teapot Dome scandal, which was basically President Harding in 1922. His cabinet was faced with scandal because of this military outpost at Teapot Dome, and it involved a bunch of like bribery and payoffs to members of the cabinet, and one member of the cabinet for the first time ever went to jail.
Whoa.
As part of this.
It
didn't take down
Harding. It's not illegal.
Yeah, that's what Harding should have said that, man. But yeah, so that in a light version is what
now,
the Teapot.
Do you know why
was.
I'm reading on the wiki that the teacher's supposed to be Tony Randall?
I mean, he's Tony Randall-esque. He's
like a
dressed,
dry fey man.
Yeah, with dressed in the way he would dress on the Odd Couple.
Yeah,
but I think it's supposed to be sort of.
I don't know a lot about Tony Randall. I thought it was a reference to something I didn't understand. It is an impression. It's a character we don't see again.
When we were doing Mandy Patinkin research for Lisa's wedding, I saw this hilarious time Mandy Patinkin was on Letterman. Where he just appeared for one, like, he sang a song and then ran away, and that the guy helping him, pretending to help him do the tech, was Tony Randall just standing with him. And then when they sang, and then David Letterman's like, hey guys, let me talk to you, and they just ran off the stage. It's like, boy, that was something. Wow. Huh. Also, like Jimbo, I watched soap operas with my mom during school, during like the summer. Young and the Restless
what
and
would
All
you
My
watch?
Children.
Oh, yeah, Young and the Restless. Okay.
All My Children was my favorite, I think it was. I don't know. It was.
I'm a Passions man. It has an element of magic in it.
I think I watch a lot of AMC with my sister. That's what we called it. We're fans, super fans.
Oh, but now those shows are all gone. The days of the soap opera are over, man. That's
what happens when you make the women work.
The people on the their lunch hours, they just want to watch The Stew or The Chew
or Matt
or the or yes or Matt. That's what's replaced it.
Or afternoon yak, you know, whichever.
Well, and then they have a quick joke about wrist issues with video games, which is actually a real problem for the young people.
The wrist of a 40-year-old.
I know. It's really happened. And I was going to call bullshit on, like, who was playing with joysticks? But everybody was still using joysticks in arcade games.
Yeah. Razor Fight 2, The Slashening. Even better than Disemboweler 4.
Mm-hmm. I like to think they're doing it with stolen lunch money, too, playing all those games. But, yes, then we get Bart. Bart basically recreates a scene from It's a Wonderful Life.
I know Chris will love this.
What do you mean the bank is out of money?
Insolvent? You only have enough cash for the next three customers?
Just a second here. No. I don't have your money here. It's in Bill's house and Fred's house.
Hey, what the hell are you doing with my money in your house, Fred?
It took me 20 years to realize how funny that was, because I hadn't seen It's a Wonderful Life when I saw this episode.
Yes, here's the original scene for you folks if you've never seen It's a Wonderful Life.
Potter is trying to shut down the Bedford Bank, that the mom-pop bank Jimmy Stewart owns, and so a bunch of people run in to get their money out, and he's like, that's not how this works, people.
Well,
your money's been invested in other people's homes.
They're about to go on their honeymoon, Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed, and this is also, they unfortunately planned it the same day as the start of the Great Depression, and so everybody's making a run on the bank to get their money.
They have to give them their honeymoon fund.
So here's the explanation now.
No, but you're thinking of this place all wrong, as if I had the money back in a safe. The money's not here. Well, your money's in Joe's house. That's right next to yours. And in the Kennedy house, and Mrs. Maitland's house, and 100 others. You're lending them the money to build, and then they're going to pay it back to you as best they can. Now, what are you going to do, foreclose on them?
I hate that guy.
I need the money.
He relents. Sorry, I'm a big It's a Wonderful Life fan. I'm going to guess I watched it twice over Christmas season, like I always do. I love it.
That's what he means when the money's in Bill's house and Fred's house.
It doesn't make sense unless you have to know about bank runs. You have to know about savings and loans, which I had to ask my dad about because they don't exist anymore. It's just a bank.
And Mo takes it literally.
Yes.
As if Frank or Fred, rather.
What the hell are you doing in your house? Like, just punches him.
Scandal.
Right.
Like, prison.
As a 14-year-old, you still think it's funny, though.
Yeah, I still loved it. I just, like, I didn't understand the bank-based meaning of it at the time.
The random violence makes it funny, too. Yeah, just seeing Mo punch
I love Mo
in
inciting a mob.
Yes, yeah. So, again, Bart has become pure evil. And meanwhile, I love that Lisa is so desperate that Marge writing the letter A on just a piece of paper, like, will settle her down.
Yes.
Like,
it's kind of disturbing.
Yes. And then it's reached
this is another one of my favorite
point.
Jokes.
Yeah, I love this.
So great.
I'm worried about the kids, homie. Lisa's becoming very obsessive. This morning, I caught her trying to dissect her own raincoat.
I know. And this perpetual motion machine she made today is a joke. It just keeps going faster and faster.
And Bart isn't doing very well either. He needs boundaries and structure. There's something about flying a kite at night that's so unwholesome.
Hello, Mother dear.
Oh, that's it. We have to get them back to school.
I'm with you, Marge. Lisa, get in here. In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics.
Yeah, the flying the kite at night thing, it's great because you can't really identify why it's unwholesome. It just isn't right. You shouldn't be flying a kite at night.
Nor can you pinpoint to a reference. It felt too specific to not be a film reference, but I don't believe it is.
It felt like The Omen to me, but not a specific scene from it. It reminded me of how in The Omen, they're just like, this Damien kid's weird, but we can't say why exactly. But
I don't recall him saying mother dear.
I think they probably just sat around and thought, like, what is the most like unwholesome sort of, like, why would you be, you can't even see the kite in the air. So I guess they just landed on that.
Yeah, just like in Bart of Darkness, whenever Bart gets too much free time, he becomes isolated and weird.
Yeah, and gets the same bags under his eyes, too. His, hello, mother
hello,
dear.
Hello, mother dear.
And then, meanwhile, the idea of Lisa...
Such a specific shot.
Lisa built a perpetual motion machine, which is impossible. So she built an impossible...
Not with that attitude.
And then Homer is mad that it isn't perpetual. It actually accelerates, which is even more impossible.
I could put the power plant out of business.
Exactly. Threatening Homer's job.
And I just like the little touch of Lisa going, huh? Like, she also has too much energy.
Yeah.
That Marge has hit her breaking point, too. So then we get a wonderful community scene, which...
Excellent. Led by Flanders.
Actually, maybe... Yeah, so I love the continuity of that they kept that Flanders is the head of the PTA, but they can't make him principal again because they already did that in season 5, so they can't repeat that plot line. But, God, this reminds me of all political exchanges for now. I just love this.
Our demands are simple. A small cost of living increase and some better equipment and supplies for your children.
Give it to him!
Yeah, in a dream world, we have a very tight budget to do what she's asking. We'd have to raise taxes.
Raise! Way too high as they are now. Taxes are bad.
It's your children's future.
Children are important.
It'll cost you.
Go to taxes!
Raise taxes! Come on!
All right, that's a good point. Oh, oh, I'm not paying the taxes. The finger thing means the taxes.
Yeah, whatever character Dan Castellaneta is playing goes back and forth with every line. Yes. Like, oh, she's right. She's right. The taxes.
The finger thing means the taxes. It is.
Taxes are bad.
I want an action figure of whoever that was. Yeah. It's some of my funniest lines.
The mouth movements don't match up to anybody, no. So it's not one guy, but just like a finger.
And it's not a gag they do very often, and I wish they did.
Yeah, they'd let Dan Castellaneta carry that crowd scene.
Clearly improv something. Dan complained about taxes.
Taxes are bad.
Oh, yeah.
And the way the audio rolls back in, just that when Skinner like rubs his fingers, there's just this pause, and it just comes back. Like, it's even more effective that way.
Yeah, and it's great sound they got, like Foley, of fingers rubbing together.
Yeah, that's a hard sound to get on mic.
Yeah, and then, my best. Meanwhile, like Edna's there.
Yeah,
the bananas. Come on, but people don't want to pay more taxes for school. They don't want, like, anytime people are like, okay, well, you want school, it's more taxes. It'll just be an extra half a cent in sales tax. They're like, they vote against that.
And I don't want to pay for roads for, I don't own a car, but that's not how taxes work.
It's true.
Take care of everybody.
So then we get the PTA disbanding clip, which doesn't happen. The PTA isn't disbanding.
That's why the guy jumps back through the window backwards. Yeah. And there are no super intelligent cyborgs, so the people from the town must teach the children.
That same guy who says the PTA disbanded, he's also from Bart's Comedy, who's like, quit stalling! What's the plan?
It's the same reactionary guy.
Yeah. But he's getting more pep in his step every time. But yes, a new teacher is taking over, which this is almost my line of the show, really. Like, I love this part so much.
Oh my God, the PTA has disbanded!
No, no, the PTA has not disbanded. We do have an emergency plan in case of a prolonged strike right here. Let's see. Replace teachers with super intelligent cyborgs. Or if cyborgs aren't invented yet, use people from the neighborhood.
Talking on a turn. That's a peddling. Looking out the window. That's a peddling. Staring at mice handles. That's a peddling. Paddling the school canoe. Ooh, you better believe that's a peddling.
They chose all the right people for these roles.
Yep.
God, I love all the scenes of the new teachers.
So I think I went off on that before about paddling in schools. Matt, was there a fear of being paddled in your school?
No, not at all. I mean, like, there would be if Jasper was like a teacher at the school, but no, in our school, physical abuse was really high on the list.
It's one of those things. I feel weird that I was born when that happened.
We were right in my area in Arkansas. They were still doing it in the end of the 80s, but it felt like they were just. I got paddled once, and
weird.
I have a good explanation of it because when I was a kindergartner, they had a fucking cricket paddle they drilled holes in to go faster that they would hit children with. And it went from in kindergarten, any teacher could hit you with it. Then in first grade, they could only hit you in the bathroom alone.
Yeah.
Second grade, only a designated teacher. Second grade, only the designated teacher. Third grade, with a call from only the principal. Fourth grade, a call from your parents has to be made, and only the principal. And by fifth grade, there was no more corporal punishment in public schools in Tallahassee, Florida.
I wasn't from Ohio, and they retired the Board of Education, but one of my friend's family still had a formal spanking policy, and he was spanked in my presence once, and I was just like, well, this seems unnecessary.
Oh, no, we don't talk about it, my family, but they hit me until it clearly became unfashionable, because I can remember it was a threat, and it did happen until NPR told them not to.
I didn't get spanked. Well, I did get spanked as a kid a little bit, but it was more like I bet I was spanked like maybe five times ever, but then it was used as like
room for one.
Give
more.
Me a switch, or I'll get a switch and spank you some more this like next time. Yeah. So it was more of a threat. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a parent. I don't think I would spank my kids though, but just put them in timeout or
but
something.
But I threaten to do it constantly.
Yes. Always say like, hey, I'll give you something to cry about. There I heard that a lot. I heard that one a lot.
Chris, you said something about the paddle that was used, that there was holes drilled or something. What was that again?
To move faster, so that with less wind resistance. Speed holes.
Speed holes. What I thought. Speed holes so you can hit children faster.
So you can hit children faster.
It makes the paddle go faster. Yes. Speed holes.
New innovations every day.
That's Florida.
Well, and so Frink becomes the teacher, and this is another line I think of all the time. As somebody who worked in the world of video games, a.k.a. toys, and who, like, I appreciate toys better than you do, I think
you're
of this.
You're not enjoying it the right way.
I think of this all the time.
Hey, right, so the compression and expansion of the longitudinal waves cause the erratic oscillation, you can see it there, of the neighboring particles. Guess what is it? What is it?
Can I play with it?
No, you can't play with it. You won't enjoy it on as many levels as I do. The colors, children.
I'm getting a lot of glee out of that popcorn popper.
But I feel that way with
an adulterated joy.
Yeah. But I feel that way with like old Mario games. It's like, you don't appreciate this on the level that I do. You can't play Super Mario 3 and appreciate the way
game designed children.
Yeah, it's for me, children. Yes. Well, you 8-year old, you don't understand.
And the colors children, I have warped into the colors children. The colors, I say it all the time, but when I was a video game journalist?
Yeah.
And we were forced to caption images I don't have shit to say. The colors, children, the colors. That's what I captioned every stupid screenshot with.
And also, Leopold returns for the exact same joke.
I looked it up. This is the final, other than in background shots a couple times, this is the final Leopold appearance. So savor it, people.
Well, children, I don't know what you did to all those substitutes, but it's going to stop now. Leopold.
All right, you listen up, you little freaks. The fun stops here. You're gonna shut your stinking traps and behave, dammit! This is one substitute you're not gonna screw with! Marge Simpson!
Hello, class! Hi, Bart! Over here, sweetie! It's me, Mom! Hi! Hey! Hello!
Yeah, previously Leopold introduced Ned Flanders as the new principal. Yeah. So it's the same joke, but I love how over the top it is. I love the camera angles. I love the fear he instills in people. And then he switches it off immediately to introduce somebody. Ned Flanders.
And also the fact that like his lips move, but his teeth remain clenched. Words cannot possibly escape his mouth.
Usually he's like Chalmers enforcer.
It's true, but he immediately softens to introduce Marge. And
right, gets to a funny line. Marge rarely ever gets genuinely funny lines
Hello!
Unto herself. Over here, sweetie. Like, this is great.
Yeah. And there's a scene before this in which Bart gets another prank call style joke off on Mo, where he can't actually prank Mo anymore because of Jimbo Jones, but this is another way to do it.
And just him reading off the things. I also, as a kid, in my classes, I do remember, like, well, do we say present or here? Which do we say it? And so that Mo sorting it out. Say present. Here. Present. Also, Mo's ears are quite small.
Yeah, that's all
small.
That's all in his head.
Yeah.
It's my big ears, isn't it, children?
Well, I can't help that. And also, Bart tortured Gabe Kaplan. Gabe Kaplan was on his list.
Mr. Cotter?
Yes, but the actor who played Mr. Cotter, not even Mr. Cotter.
Oh, Fast Breaks Gabe Kaplan.
Sure.
Why do Amazon Prime has shitty movie selections. That's all I'm saying.
Sorry, I was going to say, I really wish we could have had one scene with Lionel Hutz as one of the substitute teachers.
Because
he's on the list. And I'm like, oh, I would have liked to have seen like one sentence out of him.
Teaching kids how to destroy evidence.
How did you get knocked? knocked out? How did Bart bump him off?
I think it would be pretty, if he just tempted him with bourbon, I feel like Hutz would shatter immediately.
Brownest of the brown liquors.
And I love that Marge rubs it in even more of just when she writes her name on the board, in parentheses, Bart's mommy. Yeah. Like, not even... And that Bart was going to kill someone with that one of his tricks, and then Marge is like, we used to do that prank when I was a kid, too.
There's blood on Marge's hands. She's killed plenty of teachers.
Just her non-reaction to it is so great. And, so what did you think of Canada being all tucked away down there, a gag there?
It's like any Simpsons Canadian jokes. I adore them because they're almost always on point in one way or another, whether they're incorrect, correct, funny. Even ones that aren't funny are, like, funny, like, somehow. It's strange. But all tucked away down there is great because that doesn't even, like, apply to, like, Mexico, you know? So I don't even know what Homer thinks.
I love the little hand motion Canada he does as if he's hiding Canada in his hand.
Though I'd like to, there's all these stories you'll hear about, like, these things that go viral of kids in his class couldn't find country X on a map. And, like, I think when I was in elementary school, I probably couldn't have found, say, Germany on a map, but if they said Canada, I could find Canada. I could find that.
Ultimately,
one.
I think geography.
I think I could too.
Yeah, and I think geography is one of those things that it's nice to know it, but ultimately you can access that information at any time. So having it memorized does you no good whatsoever.
I can't drive to Iceland. Yeah, it's never gonna.
Though I do love the running joke on John Oliver. He'll show a country with
this
a name
isn't
on,
even the country.
This isn't even the country. And actually, it's this one,
and you didn't know it.
Yeah. Yeah, then we confront the problem at the dinner table, which this tension can honestly be a whole episode. They only get like about 2 minutes out of Bart versus Marge.
There's no way I'll get into an Ivy League school now. At this rate, I probably won't even get into Vassar.
I've had just about enough of your Vassar bashing, young lady.
Look, Mom, it feels really weird having you on my turf. How would you feel if I started mopping the floor?
I'd be thrilled. You can start right now. And I'm going to keep teaching your class, like it or lump it.
Well, then, I guess I'll just have to get into the crawl space again.
I hate it when it gets in there.
It's so great how Marge's solution is to hit the wall with a broom just to annoy Bart out of the crawl space. But I think we're forgetting that Marge was Bart's teacher in Whacking Day. So she taught him before.
I just love that saying, like it or lump it. I say it's another one I say often.
Can I, hands up, who heard of Vassar for the first time?
I still barely know what
Vassar
College is.
Well, in this episode,
It's another liberal arts school. It's not a fancy Ivy League school like Harvard.
I think it's
whatever.
One of the, like, the Seven Sisters schools or whatever. They're famous for like feminist teachings and things like that.
I see, like Bryn Mawr.
This could all be wrong, by the way, but
you do not sound confident.
If we have any Vassar graduates in the listening audience,
prove
tell us
me
all
wrong.
About
I went to a state school. Yuck.
And I didn't get the clip of it because it's too sad. It's more visual, but the physical comedy of Abe and Jasper with his beard in the pencil sharpener, just him pulling Jasper's beard and more like,
it's great. I maybe really miss sharpening pencils like
Dude.
That. It's a satisfying feel. Like
my girlfriend's sister's an art director, and she's like, yeah, I installed the crank pencil sharp. It's like on her kitchen counter.
I love that crank. And
it also reminded me of all the jokesters in class would sharpen a pencil very loudly in the middle of a test. Like, I'm going to make a huge scene.
Those funny jokesters.
It was a moment of respite if you're an ADD kid. I can get up and use the pencil sharpener before I start smoking.
It's like a smoke break.
Turn a fun crank for a bit.
And then, like, oh, I sharpened it too far and broke the end of it. Better sharpen it again. That sound of Bart in the crawl space, too. It's just like so, just the little
skittering,
scratching and skittering. Ah, it's so great. Bart's getting extra bullied while there, and I love the acting on Kearney in this scene.
Mom, I need a dollar. Ever since you started teaching here, kids have been taking my lunch money, and I need that money for candy.
Here you go, precious. Now go off with your friends. Here you go, precious.
Why isn't my mom stopping this?
We've created a diversion. That's a very nice jig, Kearney. Now isn't dancing much more fun than bullying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a very nice jig.
I think in these seasons, the majority of episodes have Bart getting punched by a bully in them. Like, he gets beaten so much in the show.
In the next episode, he's beaten with his new pads for a skateboard.
Yes, yeah.
So easy on the knuckles.
It's a little bit strange that Bart decided to hide from the bullies 3 feet away from them.
Yeah, that's true.
Behind a tree. They're right there. Like, I know for the sake of comedy, like, I guess Marge just has to push him in there, but they're right there.
Yes. And that he admits to Marge that he spends his lunch money on candy. Mm-hmm. I need that money for candy. It was always nice that it was in middle school when they finally introduced in my place, like, the extra stuff of, like, you could get the regular, lunch cafeteria food, but you pay extra for, like, ice cream bars and the Chuck Wagon.
I bought a Sega Genesis by eating donuts on dares from that awful
and
system.
Just setting aside the rest of your money.
Dude, I can't eat donuts anymore. I used to eat them as, like, it's like a fucking animal. They were just, people would pay me to, give me a dollar to eat 5 donuts.
Ugh. I remember having a $2 lunch or maybe a $1.50 lunch in my high school years. I ate a apple pie, Hostess apple pie, and a can of Coke.
Jesus.
Just how is that garbage?
But Bart has quite a plan to finally end this.
Wait, that's it. With your book smarts and my ability to exploit people with book smarts, we can figure out a clever plan to get them back together.
A surprise party for me in Principal Skinner's office? Well, I don't know, but all right.
Me? Go to my office? Highly irregular, but all right.
And you're not coming out until you reach an agreement.
Let it out, Bart!
You're going to be very...
It's a bit odd that Bart goes to Milhouse and not Lisa for this plan, but I love how underthought Bart's plan is, just telling Skinner, go to your office for no reason. Yeah. Bart usually puts more effort into his plans. We saw Buttzilla, you know, Big Butt Skinner.
True. Milhouse actually made up a good excuse for Edna, but instead Skinner's just like, me? Go to my office.
Highly unorthodox.
I love that so much, though. And also,
that's good.
Yeah, and so they're in there for 5 hours of slamming on the door. And thumbs up to the animators of getting, like, the way the padlock bounces back and forth, like, erratically. It feels very random.
It's a nice touch you wouldn't see in a modern cartoon.
It communicates the fury on the other side of that door very effectively, I think.
But then they finally come to an agreement, and that brings us to the end of the episode. I really love this ending, too.
Seymour, I guess we could start talking.
What's the point? There's no more money, unless you've got some magic new source of revenue.
Well, we've got to figure something out. They've got us locked in here like prisoners.
Prisoners in our own school. Hey. This was a great way to make extra money, renting out our cloakrooms to the overcrowded prison system.
Yo, I used to sit right over there.
It's all right, children. Just ignore the murderer.
And as a bonus, some of our more troublesome students might be scared straight.
Psst, kid. Help me break out of here. I'll totally make it worth your while.
I'm listening.
So this episode is paced like a Looney Tunes short up until the end, even, where it just ends suddenly. And it's not the most satisfying ending, but it's just like, bam, it's over. But it's just so packed with great, great jokes. Yeah. So many lines of the show in this one.
I love that they go so far to fix the school. Like, well, what's the only way we can fix the school? Well, the government will invest in the prison system. Okay.
And it's kind of sending the message like, yes, school is prison for children.
Which they've had before. Mm. That was in the, them being on the prison bus school.
Got kind of a shining thing going on.
It also made a point to emphasize why Bart needs prison babysitting of an elementary school.
Bart's on the school to prison pipeline.
I didn't remember this episode being one of the best ever when I started watching it. I was just floored the whole time. It's a perfect episode.
Yeah, it's one I watched over and over on VHS just because I hated school so much, and I was like, yes, take down school. I hate it too, Simpsons.
Like I said before, a classic joke every 3 seconds. Yep. Also, towards the ending, like the very idea it skips over, like I'd assume another PTA meeting would need to be had where they go, all right, so listen, people. We're going to put murderers and thieves coexist. Like, I love that it skips that scene because there's no way to possibly, get it
logically
across.
Makes sense.
Other parents would be like, okay with that. So it's amazing that way.
I bet that plan involved lowering taxes, which is why it passed immediately.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
No, I love this episode too. It's wacky, tons of amazing jokes, and no silly B plot to distract things, just like a constant roller coaster forward. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'd say the only negative about it would be maybe that the Marge as teacher was underserved, mm-hmm. just thanks to it being crammed with other stuff, but just goddamn.
She gets more funny moments than normal, though.
Yeah, it's true. Tons. It's true. Like, but I, God, that's a paddling.
So
thank you so much for listening, folks. I will let Matt talk about where we can find him and what he does, just to throw it out there for some plugs. Matt.
Sure, yeah. You can find me at Super Best Friends just on YouTube, easy to find. But also I have a new side channel where I just play all types of like stuff that's specifically in my wheelhouse. Currently playing Spider-Man on the PlayStation.
Hell yeah.
Like the first... Yeah, yeah. I've never played it fully up until like just now. I'd always like rent it maybe once, get like had to return it, never got to see it all the way through. So I'm doing that at Matt McMuscles. Again, easily findable on YouTube. But yeah, no, that's where you can find me and do my stuffs. And I hope to actually play a Simpsons game at some point. I was thinking of Bart's Nightmare on the Super Nintendo because I do remember a few of those mini games, specifically the Bartzilla.
Yep.
And throwing tomatoes at students that wander in front of Bart, and he's got like a catapult or a slingshot. And I've been meaning to play that again soon. So it's look one out of the, for that.
It's one of the less bad ones. But still kind of bad.
Yeah. And one of those I could never justify getting my parents to buy me, but rented it all the time. We have streamed it multiple times. It's terrible, but it's one of the best Simpsons games.
What I love about that PlayStation Spider-Man game is that it's before Marvel became Marvel, and so they just seem to be able to go like, hey, can we ask Captain America in this game? Yeah, sure, put him in. Who cares? Not? Like the Human
worthless.
Torch? Yeah, here he is. Just have him.
Punisher? Sure.
Just put them all. Who cares? Yeah, it's to think that just 20 years ago was such a Wild West, where now if you want to put any Marvel character in anything, you probably have to sign like 800 contracts over a year.
So yeah, as for me, I've been your host, Bob Mackey. Thanks for listening, by the way. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. My other podcast is Retronauts. Every Monday, occasionally a bonus episode on Friday. It's a classic gaming podcast. Go to Retronauts.com or look for Retronauts in your podcatcher or wherever you listen to podcasts. We've done so many topics. We've been around for over a decade, so I recommend you find a topic you like and listen to that corresponding episode. You should like our show. Everyone else, tell us what you do, where we can find you.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at HENEREYG, where I'm tweeting out funny things and political anger. And also, you should follow this on Patreon at patreon.com/TalkingSimpsons. That support there will get you access to every episode of the show a week early and ad-free, along with tons of exclusives, including some really cool interviews coming up, and our Talking Critic, where we go through every episode of The Critic from the beginning in the same style as Talking Simpsons. And lastly, I will say, January 28th, again, folks, we are doing live show of the Talking Simpsons at SF Sketchfest. Admission is free. Mm-hmm. You can claim a ticket now if you're going to be in the area, the Bay Area, January 28th. That's a Sunday.
I promise to kill one of you with a t-shirt cannon.
And you know what? Assassins, stay home. You are not welcome.
No.
Yeah, and Laser Time is where the show lived. Patreon.com/LaserTime is how we make a living, but you can check out the show Laser Time, which is like this, but topic-based. We talked about The Simpsons over Christmas because The Simpsons had a tentative finale in the 21st season, in 2011, and it's really, really good. And if you never want to watch another episode, it's a really good episode to check out on. That was for Christmas special sequels. But what else? We're going to do a bunch of stuff with cartoons right now. You guys have been involved with that. Looney Tunes, 30, 20, 10, to look 30, 20, and 10 years ago into the past of that week. And Video Game Apocalypse, our weekly video game show. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week with Round Springfield. See you then.
Infotainment.